And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio someone who's been in this place many, many times, Gina Davis. And she's come over from the city of Palmer and is going to talk a little bit about a process that is going to engage everyone associated with the city, whether you're a staff member or you're on the council, et cetera. And that's a thing that we all love called the budget. Welcome, Gina.
Thank you, Mike.
So we're just looking to have a kind of an overview of how the process works. And maybe for listeners who are not familiar with what you do, how about sharing your title? Who are you in the city's hierarchy?
In the hierarchy of the city of Palmer, I am the finance director.
Okay. So as finance director, when it comes time to do the budget, what role do you play? What do you do?
I actually start the preparation of the budget and have a conversation with the city manager, Nate Wallace, and we kind of look at last year's budget, look at prior year actual numbers, and try to get a feel of what we might think is going to happen for the upcoming year.
Okay, now this isn't your first budget. You have done this before.
I have done this many times, Mike. I've been at the city for 9 years now.
Okay.
So I've been through a few budget processes.
Right. And the goal, of course, for listeners who may be saying, well, okay, this is coming up to be October. We hear a lot of discussion about budget from the assembly and the school board, even the state of Alaska in particular this past year. But all that happened in the spring rolling into summer. What's different about the budget for the city?
The city's on a calendar year, Mike, January through December, where the state and the borough and the school district are actually on a fiscal year. Their year ends June 30th.
Okay. Now, to my mind, just my own personal opinion, that seems so much simpler. It goes along with the year. You can say it's a budget for 2020. But then when we start talking about these other budgets that sort of go half this year, half that year, things get, I think, more complicated. As a professional in the business, do you sense a difference, or what are the pros and cons about doing it one way or the other?
Well, I mean, with the school district, it makes sense because then it kind of follows their school year.
Right.
In my career in working for governmental entities, I've only known a calendar year budget. I've never known a fiscal year budget, so...
Oh.
So I can't really say personally. I actually, it's kind of nice having a calendar year budget. It kind of makes things, I think, the process simpler.
Okay. And of course, all of this is in some sense complicated because there's an election that happens typically in the fall. And for the city of Palmer, it means the potential of having some new people that have to be brought up to speed. If there are new council members or the mayor, they have to be newly arriving on the scene. Because this process, even though it's focused in the fall, as you pointed out, really begins much earlier. I mean, when January arrives and people say, well, we got the new budget, I almost think you're like the state fair. That doesn't mean that you aren't beginning already to think about next year's budget.
Yes. I mean, usually in the month of July, we have a conversation with council about any priorities they might be thinking about for the next, for 2020 or some, things coming down the pipe that we might need to address. So we actually kind of start, you know, in July, just kind of feeling the waters, so okay. to speak.
Okay. Now, as finance director, I know that you're the keeper, in one sense, of the books. I mean, you're the bottom line. Okay. You know, people ask, how much money do we have left? Or when Mr. Wallace's manager gives an update on the state of things, you've provided him with the information. Is that correct?
Yes, Mike. Uh-huh. We have our financials. We always have, you know, running totals. We have various projects going on. So you kind of have to have a pulse on, you know, each project and what has been spent and what's remaining.
So over the years recently, I'm curious, since I've been involved a little bit in observing technology at work, and technology in this whole realm of keeping track of budgets and numbers, I would guess has had an impact. So if you were to think back 9 years ago to today, do you see some differences in the ease with which you keep track of things that may have been enhanced by new software or technology, or how's that work?
Oh, definitely, Mike. It's it makes a big difference. I mean, it really helps streamline things, you know, like, you know, the collections of revenues, you know, you can go online and pay your utility bill online, and that's just a smooth process, and that's just a streamlined piece that, you know, simplifies the process. And just, you know, gathering data is so much easier, and tracking projects is so much easier.
I know that Palmer prides itself on obviously having a balanced budget, which is a requirement. And the other requirement is that you do things in a proper order. And I know from time to time there's a discussion of varying accounting rules that you have to work under. Has that changed recently, or how does that work for the city? I mean, you can't just keep the books any way you want. Is that not true?
No, we have standards we have to follow, Mike. And there's a board called GASB, and they just keep updating their standards, and they seem to think that they are streamlining things, but in the accounting world, they're trying to streamline governmental accounting books to look more like, you know, private entities, just for people to do more comparisons between the two.
So when I've thought of budgets, very often when I've had an opportunity, been asked to work with budgets as a board member of one sort or another, I know that there are typically in the budget a set of references that are usually numbered, like this is account 2076, et cetera, all the rest of that. It almost feels like it's the Dewey Decimal System of accounting. Is that somewhat accurate, or...?
Accounting numbers. That's how you track your expenses. That's how you track your revenues. It categorizes them to the appropriate department, you know, down to, you know, the expense line item.
Okay. And this is a centralized way of doing things here at the city. The city is not a large entity as compared to perhaps the city of Anchorage or even the school district. And so with the number of departments, relatively small number of departments, et cetera, you provide services to all of those departments, to everyone. Is that correct? In other words, the Public Works does not have their own accounting effort.
No, Mike. It all falls under the finance department.
Okay. So if you were to, as you think about your experience with this whole business, what would you say are the most challenging aspects in terms of what requires either the most attention or the hardest part of doing all of this? Is there something that you could share with listeners that would help them to understand this whole thing?
You know, the bottom line is the city manager has to present a balanced budget, meaning the revenues less the expenditures needs to be zero or above in
right.
the positive side. Accounting for what happened in the prior year, whether realizing whether it was an abnormal, not an abnormal year, or if it was a regular occurrence, and just making sure you're looking at the full picture moving forward. You know, maybe you added another internet line for something, and you want to make sure that that will be an ongoing expense that will be going into the future, and make sure there's proper amount budgeted for that line item.
Okay. So we have some changes that occur year to year. The City of Palmer budget, as I've watched it over time, seems to be one that has established some kind of working cape. I mean, it works, and it with attention to all those things that you pointed out, it seems to me that it's just modified slightly from year to year. It doesn't have huge zigs and zags. Is that accurate?
That would be a good way to put it, Mike. It is, it is, for the most part, you know, remained a pretty flat budget over the years. You know, we don't have huge jumps in our revenue streams to, you know, account for big bells and whistles. The city has pretty, you know, the general fund itself is pretty much funded by property taxes and City of Palmer sales taxes. That makes up the majority of the funding for the general fund budget. And that's where you have, you know, public works, your roads, that's where you have your police department, that's where you have your fire department, the library, that all falls under the general fund. And
I'm glad you detailed that, because sometimes when people use that term general fund, it's like, okay, how many funds are there? There's the general fund, and then there are these other kind of restricted funds that deal with specific things like water and sewer.
Yes, the water and we have five enterprise funds. We have the general fund, and then we have capital projects funds. And then we have a couple special revenue funds that involve, you know, police grants and police forfeiture funds and a neighborhood park fund. I think in total we have about 12 or 13 funds.
Okay. And then from time to time, as anyone who has witnessed a Palmer City Council meeting knows, that there are sometimes grant monies that, and most recently, the most recent meeting, were grant monies that were going to be provided to enhance sidewalks. And there was a matching amount from the city that was going to draw in a significantly larger amount from a grant provider. That matching amount typically comes from general funds?
That is correct, Mike.
Okay.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And so that's one way the term is often used to leverage a commitment from the local entity to gain some of the grant monies that are available the city does.
Yeah, and it's a great way to, you know, get the most bang for your buck there, especially if you can, you know, if just a little bit of funding from the general fund in order to get these larger funds to get a project done is fantastic.
So one of the other things that people often wonder, and I know if a listener is thinking about their own budget as a plan of what they're going to be doing in a year, we know that there can be income changes, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less for one reason or another. There might be an unexpected expense that comes up, and you do that. So in the day-to-day of a typical year, I've noticed that there'll be a transfer of funds occasionally to make some monies that are still available into another place. But there's also the question of, like, how much reserve does the city have in order to say, well, it's a buffer when we have some changes and we need a little extra here or there, et cetera.
Yes, the general fund reserve. The general fund unrestricted fund balance is the accounting term of it all. It's, you know, according to GFOA, which is a national government finance association, you know, they recommend anywhere from 2 to 3 months of expenditures.
Okay.
General fund expenditures to have in your reserve for, you know, your rainy day expense.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what the city does, or goes beyond that?
We try to stick to that, and we're probably a little bit higher than what their standard is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mike Malevsky here with Big Cabbage Radio, and I've been talking with Gina Davis, who's graciously come in. She's been photographing the early morning here and was available to step in and share some information for the inside the city perspective, in this case at the budget process. We're just about done here. Have a minute left. Any last comments you'd like to share before we finish, Gina?
No, Mike. I think we probably covered most of it.
Okay. Well, thank you once again for coming in.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.